Spirits of French Lick is proud to introduce the Lee Sinclair 4-Grain Bottled and Bond Bourbon. This 4-year-aged, double-pot distilled, non-chill-filtered bourbon has creamy, round, and lifting notes with caramel and vanilla, followed by apple, mint, graham cracker, and ginger, as well as cardamom. The finish is slightly French walnut, resolving the sweet, fruity, almost ground cherry and white pepper. Our spirits are available for tasting and purchase inside the French Lick Winery and Distillery. Spirits of French Lick. Respect the grain. Please enjoy responsibly. Spirits of French Lick is proud to introduce the Matty Gladden Bottled and Bond Bourbon. This 4-year-aged bourbon is double pot distilled and non-chill filtered, and has a full-bodied mouthfeel with eucalyptus, molasses, clove, ginger, and slight citrus, as well as grains of paradise. The finish is long and reappearing on the back of the tongue with notes of pepper, tobacco leaf, and mint cream. All of our spirits are available for tasting and purchase inside the French Lick Winery and Distillery. Spirits of French Lick. Respect the grain. Please enjoy responsibly. And be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Let's do this. Oh, my gosh. Really? It wants a password? What the
heck? If people were just honest, we wouldn't have to lock everything.
Oh, gosh. I gotta... Here we go. There we go. Oh, we did that smooth.
No, I know. And the thing is, too, there's a delay from what we actually do versus what you see. So it looks like even though we're trying to nod our heads with the downbeat, you see it with the backbeat. It looks all
don't
out
ask why. Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. For if we don't find the next whiskey bar, I tell you we must die. I tell you we must die. I tell you, I tell you, I tell you we must die.
All right.
Here we
Welcome.
Are.
Welcome. It's a Tuesday night here in Canton, Ohio.
Last day in May.
The Scotchy Bourbon Boy is coming to you. We are Facebook Living this baby. Now I gotta turn it down. There we go. We are having some real good technical smoothness as usual, but we are the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. This here is Xavier. I am Tiny. We are ready to go on a Tuesday night. Remember, www.scotchybourbonboys.com. Check out everything Scotchy Bourbon Boys. Get some bios on us. Check out our merchandise. We have Scotchy Bourbon Boys t-shirts. We've got Scotchy Bourbon Boys Glencairns. You can get even, also, you can get Scotchy Bourbon Balls.
Scotchy
we
bourbon
make
balls.
Our bourbon balls. Fresh, push it. Usually we sell a lot during the holiday season, but at any time of the year, if you're there, you do place an order, you put us on the spot to make some of the best bourbon balls that money has to offer.
I'll tell you what, they're phenomenal.
So, we are on all podcast formats. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. That's what we forgot before.
TikTok, yeah.
And Patreon. We're on Patreon, and then also just anywhere on social media.
We really
media.
Need a cue card or a cheat sheet.
Yeah, because it's so many different ones. Right now, we're on Facebook Live. If you want to leave any, we're watching the chat. So if you leave any chats from any place, anywhere, I know right there I'm watching. But if you're in, let me just check to see if the Scotchy Bourbon Boys... I'll get out of this one and get...
Sorry, could you say that again?
No, sorry, no, I can't. Okay, anyways, that was Siri jumping in.
While you're doing that, I'd like to welcome our new members we have. We've got Scott Keffer, James Presley, Tony Rosansky Jr., Matt Leisen, Steve Connell, Brett Shellhammer, and Alex Prinzhorn. Welcome, everyone. We're so glad to have you with us.
Yeah, look at that. Active members at the time, and nobody's watching. Awesome. Maybe I should get out of this one and go check somewhere else. But anyways, No, I'll go back to...
I thought you said we had 10 people watching us, or were they not members?
Those were to start off, and then it went down, but yeah, they weren't members right now. So anyways, make sure that if you want to comment, or you can do it live chat. Okay, so anyways, we'll just leave that alone for now. But know that we just did the new members, so that our Facebook group is growing. We are going to have 1,000th member giveaway, bottle giveaway. We will have, at 500, we had a special label for our 500th member on an Elijah Craig small batch bourbon that we gave away for our 500th member. But we are coming up on our 1,000th member. We are 912 members strong. And that,
wow,
we will be giving away a special bottle for our 1,000th member. So that's kind of cool. Something that's coming up. And then, so lots of fun. We're thinking of having a July meeting. It looks like July 9th we're going to have it. It's probably going to be at my house because my bourbon collection is getting out of hand. And for the members that come, I want to be able to have a meeting that I can share some good bourbon that I've acquired over the past, it's been about 6 months, I think, since we had a, might even have been 7 months since we've gone to the barrel room. So I think this one will be at my house, back deck kind of thing, and we will do some tasting. It'll be a beautiful July meeting there. So that brings us to our main topic tonight. And the reason why the topic is coming up at the moment is because in 2020, the Tobacco Tax and Trade Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau changed the glass bottle legislations in the United States. Now, a 700 milliliter bottle or a 70 cl, which is whatever centiliters, basically is the standard bottle for whiskey and spirits across Europe and the rest of the world. 750 milliliters is the United States. So they changed it so that you could do 700 milliliters, 720 milliliter, 900 milliliter, and 1.8 liter to allow that for being a standard fill for distilled spirits. So,
have they done away with the 750?
No, altogether? You still can do 750 and one liter, but they added those in 2020. And until just recently, it really wasn't a big deal. It's 2022. Nothing's been changed. But this week, early last week, Jack Daniel's released their Bottled in Bond and their Triple Mash. That's what we're going to be tasting tonight. This is Triple Mash, blended whiskey. Now, this Triple Mash is a 700 milliliter bottle. So if you look at that, it's a bottle of Jack Daniel's. And there's actually, if you want to pull that Jack Daniel's gold box right over there, that is another, we'll put it up against. Now, there's some crazy, now this is a 750 milliliter, just pull it out. You pull it by the neck and just pull her out. Yep. So now you're looking at a 750 milliliter bottle. Now, you can tell the difference right there. Big difference, right? How much, and this is, that's a huge difference as far as looks. But you're only talking about losing, I believe I can go down here, I know it. I think it's 1.69 ounces. Yes, 1.69 ounces less. Now, some people think that, we could put this off. Just put that right over on the barrel right there. Yeah, just set it right there. Some people think that this is a bad thing. Of course, you're losing 1 point. Are they going to lower the price? Now, I would tend to say this Triple Mash in my opinion, if it was a 750 milliliter bottle, they would have probably sold it for $39.99, $40. This is a special release of Jack Daniel's. They've never had, this is three bottled and bond whiskeys put together to make their triple mash blend. And these three, this special has never been introduced. So Jack Daniel's took it, and which is Brown and Foreman, which also makes Old Forester and Woodford Reserve. So this is the start. I mean, the bottled in bond Jack Daniel's, they're new. They're not taking what they've been making before and reducing it. They're offering a new offer. This was $35.99. So they might have cut the price just a little bit, but then again, maybe they didn't. We don't know. But there's a couple things. So if you're the obvious reason that most people are going to go, it's going to go negative, because in this time, especially in this time and space, this will be for you a little later. In my opinion, the world has gone negative. So there's just going to be a shit ton of people that are going to be like, well, we get 1.69 ounces less. This is, what do they call it? Inflation. What's the word for inflation? Downsizing inflation, where right. Package inflation, you know, it's instead of raising the price, you're getting less. Right. You get less Wheaties, same price. You get less everything. But in this case, because this is standardized, okay, so Jack Daniel's is the sixth largest selling whiskey in the world, the number one selling whiskey in the United States as far as a brand. And as the sixth selling, they have to make 700 milliliter bottles and 750 milliliter bottles. So there's going to be a certain amount of streamlining happening if they're all 700 milliliter bottles. Two, there's a glass shortage going on. So every 1.69 ounces, and I believe there's 25 ounces, roughly 25 ounces in a 750 milliliter. So every 25 bottles or 24 bottles, that you get the 25th and the 26th, you get an extra bottle. So there's going to be, with the same amount of glass, more bottles that they can make. That's one. Two, it's streamlined, correct? Now they're all 700 milliliters. All they have to do is adjust the change. They don't have to have two lines. Dylan was like, what's the bottle right there? It's the bottle right here is, this is Jack Daniel's triple mash. It's 700 milliliters. We have the other bottle. If you want to just, we'll do it again.
We've got Martin, we've got Super Nash watching.
We got the other bottle, Dylan, right here, which is a 750 milliliter. It's not, I mean, this bottle, although this is one of their special bottles, and it's thicker and it's longer or whatever, but you can see the difference. But 1.69 ounces less in the 700 milliliter bottle. Now, like I said, everybody is thinking, you know, and they're kind of, are they complaining that they get less and they got to pay the same? Or in this case, maybe you got a little less. You didn't have to pay as much. They didn't charge. But they got more bottles with the same amount of glass. That's one aspect.
You know, I was thinking of another aspect just now, and I don't know that this is an aspect that may only exist between my ears. But I would think that if you want to compete in European or worldwide markets where most of the other product is packaged in a 700 milliliter bottle, that you would want to have the same amount. And then, you know, you could, the consumer could then, you know, accurately rate what he's paying for each type of whiskey based on a common purchase size.
Right. Now, there's one last positive aspect. And a lot of people go with this positive aspect and have been thinking about it, is that although you get 1.69 milliliters left, what happens is, and this one goes, I believe this one went into it.
1.69
okay, so the 2020 release of King of Kentucky, which had only 2,700 bottle run, and only 2,700 people had a chance to get it. If it would have been okay, if it would have been a 700 milliliter release,
you had more coverage.
2,892 bottles, 192 more people would have been able to sample King of Kentucky. So basically, let's just say all of us bourbon hunters that are out there, when you think of that, and these are facts off of Breaking Bourbon. This was a great article. It made me, when I bought the 700 mil, I wanted to do it. Then when I researched it, they really did a good job already researching it. So basically, how 192 more people would get a bottle of that King of Kentucky, and that might mean you get it. Same thing with just take Pappy, for instance. Nobody ever, but if they're releasing Pappy and they can release that many more bottles and everybody has a shot, wouldn't you, as a person who got a bottle of Pappy, give up 1.69 milliliters of that so that somebody else can get it?
Is that a trick question? Seriously?
It's not. I would in a second. I mean, Pappy isn't a mass consumption thing. It's a hoarding thing. You know what I mean? So I myself would definitely think that smaller bottle allowing people to have more just makes sense. And so here's the stats on the Jack Daniels, which is Brown-Forman. They're the sixth largest, and then overall the largest, like I said. They estimated 12.3 million 9-liter cases. So when you do that many cases, just think about just taking it down to 700 milliliter, how many more people will be able to get from the same amount of whiskey that they produce, you know, what they need. So, and then when you figure the aspect is, whether we like it or not, this introduction by the largest American whiskey and the sixth largest whiskey in the world, which now the five above them were foreign whiskeys, you know, either Japanese or scotches or whatever, they're selling 700 milliliter.
Right.
So they're, like you said, their market share is bigger as far as per bottle because they're basically, I mean, this might make the difference of, you know, when you're talking about it, are we talking about cases, 12.3 million cases, opposed to the cases that Scotch is selling
right
above them? So does the fact that you're gonna there's less whiskey going into the 12.3 milliliter cases, which means there's more whiskey to distribute?
Or there's more to distribute, and you're distributing on a common volume, and somebody can say, well, this whiskey costs this much per ounce versus this whiskey costs this much per ounce. You know, you can easily do the math when you're varying only the price per bottle and not the volume per bottle.
I know we don't ever look at Jack Daniel's shortages. We do look at some shortages when it comes to the barrel strength and the single barrels that are there. Those are limited releases. But when it comes to Jack Daniel's, which is the you know, their main brand, that's selling the majority of the cases. Are we saying that they sell everything possible, you know, or are we saying that have they hit their ceiling is the question?
Right.
I don't know that, but overseas, they're going to sell more cases because there'll be less in there. So people will buy more bottles.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? In this case, and like you said, that's what it comes down to as far as, you know, that goes. So it's really kind of a, you know, how you look about it, look at it. I really think people are going to look at this negatively because we're, as a society, and especially we're so damn touchy right now, especially in the bourbon whiskey, American whiskey groups and everything. You know, there's such a competition to get it. Now, those groups, if you realize you're going to be able to, you have a better shot at getting whiskey at 700 milliliters than you do at 750 milliliters. Who knows? But at the same time, I'm cool with it because if you look around everywhere in my studio, this is just a third of it. There's shelves over there. There's shelves over there. There's shelves over there. And I have so much that it's kind of cool that I'm only going to have to drink 700 milliliter in a bottle to, you know, cash the bottle instead of
the extra storage space you're going to need for the bottles.
Well, at least I'll be able to, yeah, get through some of the bottles. But knowing this, everybody should start saving their 750 milliliter bottles because, like, 20, 30 years, you can talk to your grandkids about how they used to sell bourbon in
back in my day
they sold it exactly. 750 milliliter. Look at these bottles. You don't see these bottles anymore. By then, it'll probably be 500 milliliter.
Right.
You know what I mean? You never know, right? But that kind of the 1.69, you know, Greg Schneider is watching. Hello, Mr.
Hey,
Schneider. So, I mean, I just think there's pluses and minuses, but overall, I'm a very positive person. And, you know, I'm going to go with this is a good thing so that everybody else can get more whiskey from the same amount of those limited runs. You know, especially even when you look at Chicken Cock, if they switch to that 700 milliliter, more of us can get, you know, we can get more of the island rye. You know, there'll be more. And then and then some of the limited releases might be able to be a little bit cheaper. Because they're producing so many more, so 189 bottles on a 2,700 run.
Right.
And you know what I mean?
And the bottles do have less in them. So
right,
there's a chance that they could
per bottle
slightly
could be a little
cheaper,
less. Yeah, exactly. Because they're able to sell more bottles.
Right.
They're, for that same amount of whiskey.
Right.
You get an extra 200 bottles. You could cost effectively reduce that based off what you want to make for that volume of whiskey that you just put in. So, anything else you want to add to that?
No, I think you covered it pretty well.
Okay. So, that brings us to your glasses. So, the main part of it is right here, and then there's a little bit right here, but we are doing the Jack Daniel's Triple Mash. Now, I have to admit, I've had this, and it's unique. So, we're going to barrel bash it tonight. We'll see what we can do, and you could give us a little bit on that.
Yep, exactly. So, as he said, Jack Daniel's Triple Mash, it's a blended straight whiskey, a blend of bonded American malt, rye, and Tennessee whiskeys. Bottled in bond, 100 proof, 50% alcohol by volume, and in case you missed it, it's a 700 milliliter bottle. It is a triple mash, everything I just said, honey, malt, and soft oak with pleasant notes of honey, malt, and soft oak, leading to a long-lasting, well-rounded finish. Bottled and bond, they put the definition of it here, distilled by a single distiller during a single season and matured in a government-bonded warehouse for at least 4 years. So there you have it, folks.
Yeah, now, this is not anything like. Now, I didn't buy the bottled and bond because once again, I don't mind Jack Daniel's. My father drank Jack Daniel's when I was young, and as a kid and a young adult, I had my share of plowing through Jack Daniel's because it was my dad's thing. So when I was in high school, my dad, one of the things that I would try and do is relieve my dad of his Jack Daniel's collection.
The bottle kept the same level, but it kept getting lighter and lighter.
No,
and lighter.
I never went to the same. I didn't ever do that to my dad, for sure. I wouldn't do that to him because when you think about it, I was not. I was of the belief my dad knew what not sure. Greg says he's not sure about what Chickencock will do about the 700 milliliter, but my concern with the shift on sizes is this. Upfront prices might be
reduced initially,
but eventually companies will charge the same price for 700 for the 700 milliliter.
That's probably where it's going.
Especially with where the world has gone. It's kind of like the market of whiskey with the added expenses of everything that's been happening. The barrels, the glass, everything that's been happening, they can't really pass that on to consumers, where this will be maybe a way to pass that on to consumers a little bit. Like, it's splitting the cost. They get the 1.69 more ounces, but they didn't have to raise the price $10 because...
Well, it's kind of like your coffee container keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
Well, and it's just like when you're talking about aged spirits. Yes, 7 years ago, this price increase wasn't happening, but they're trying to meet the demand now. So if you... this price increase is happening, and they're not going to be able to... pass the aged spirits time, 4, 7, 9 years. They can't pass that along. So when you think about it, this is one way that they can recover and keep being a viable business. And I agree with what Greg said. I do believe eventually, if something drastic doesn't happen, I mean, honestly, it's kind of like the aspect of the pandemic, of the medical part of it, has calmed down and is coming to an end. There's no doubt about that because we have everything. But at the same time, the damage to the economy and whatever, and to every business that's out there, just to truck it from across the country with the fuel prices, it's insane. So there's somehow the whiskey industry has to figure out how to keep, doing what they, what they've been doing and, move on. So, and we all accept it in our food and we're not liking it in some areas, but at the same time, we understand what's going on in the business based off of the high cost of doing business these days, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So we went through this, cheers. This is very unique. And when you talk about it, technically, they said it's a rye whiskey, it's a barley whiskey, and it's their Tennessee whiskey, which is technically bourbon. So you're mixing these mash bills, but that means that Jack Daniel's has single malt. I mean, that's what a malt whiskey is, right? So you're talking about something that's coming out, but to put this all together, I have been recently a huge fan of wheat whiskey, especially barrel-proof wheat whiskey. It's delicious to me, the toasted aspect of the bread and the wheat and the caramel mixture there in a subtle form, without the spiciness of, let's just say, rye or whatever, or rye that rye adds. Is really a unique thing for me at barrel strength. Now, a wheat whiskey at 80 proof, probably not so much, but you'd get me a barrel. But this here has the barley in this is just unbelievable on the nose. You could smell it. It's like bread dough almost, right? You smell that?
Yeah, it's... You definitely get a wheat sense to it, more so than a corn sense.
But there's that barley, and then there's that bread. Now, it's not the nose of Jack Daniel's. Not at all.
No, the Jack Daniel's nose is a sweeter nose.
It's more like scotchish.
Yeah, I would say this is almost, it's funny you said more like scotchish. It's kind of like the nose, a similar nose to Jameson almost.
Now, this is, did Irish we say whiskey. The proof?
It's 100 proof.
Yes, it's bottled in bond. So we're talking about 20. The normal Jack Daniel's is 80 proof. So we're talking some.
And we're so old, we remember when the normal Jack Daniel's used to be 86 proof.
Yeah, exactly. When Frank Sinatra started drinking it with Jackie Gleason. All right, so I really like the nose. And there's a... Like I said, there's no astringent flavors on this nose. This is a delightful, fresh nose. There, I don't get ethanol. I don't get anything at all.
Greg Snyder comments, history has a way of repeating. When the U.S. standard half pints, fifths, quarts, etc. went up to 200 milliliter, 375 milliliter, and 750 milliliter in the early 80s, it was the same scenario. Yeah, very good point.
Yeah. But I think this scenario puts us, that scenario kind of transitioned us to this scenario. Because, you know, we were still, although we were on the metric system now, we weren't playing the same game that the rest of the world were. We were still different. I do believe, though, 750 milliliter for wine across the world is the standard, but I'm not exactly sure. Someone could, if someone
somebody knows that, yeah, put in the comments here.
Yeah, let me know what you think. But all right, let's taste this. Tastes like a caramel milkshake to me.
Oh, well, that's a really different taste than it is nose. That's for sure. I wasn't expecting that. It's delightfully different.
Oh, it's so good.
It is. It is. This is a...
And that Kentucky hug, which is obviously a Tennessee hug. But once again, remember, Brown & Forman, that makes Jack Daniels, putting out the 700 milliliter bottle right now. They also make Woodford Reserve and Old Forester. This is the start.
Ask me what I taste on my side palate.
What do you taste on your side palate?
Say it.
You think you taste maple?
No, chocolate.
Chocolate.
I'm not kidding you. I absolutely. That's. This has got a great taste. In fact, the nose doesn't do it justice at all.
I thought you were coming in for a crack.
Crack kills.
What the fuck ever? I'm gonna have to remember that one. I'm putting that on the Facebook short, reel, and TikTok. I thought you were going to crack.
No, not at all. No, that was not a sarcastic comment. The first one wasn't. The second one was. But no, we for those of you that are new to us and haven't watched or listened, Tiny derives chocolate out of two out of three whiskeys that he tastes.
Oh, and recently.
And he's probably right because he has a very sensitive palate. So we've had a tendency to tease him, and that's what I was saying. Well, I went to the great extent to say that this is not, I was dead serious, and I am. I taste chocolate on the side palate, and it's delightful. It's really good.
I can give you that.
This is good. I never thought I'd say that about a Jack Daniel's expression.
It's like also a milk. The malt aspect
Got a
milkshake kind of
taste.
It sure does.
That's
that finish is long.
It is.
Wow. It's just like
what does that go for a bottle, Tiny?
Like I said, $35.99.
So I'll buy that. Know,
and think about this. Normally when something comes out, standard prices, $18.99, $24.99, $29.99, $39.99, and $49. And then when you get up into like the $54, you know, the higher than $49, that's when you usually start to change, you know, the prices. And that wasn't the case 10 years ago when we were buying Colonel Taylor for $32.99. But recently, that's usually, so the $35.99 in my opinion is unique. You know, so I think they had it a lit. I think that 1.69, they probably split the cost between us and them, and they gave it to us at a little less cost than probably not as cheap as what it could have been. But they, you know, but it's for $35.99. Drink up, everybody.
This is good.
All right, so let's barrel bash this. Our barrel bashing system is based off of evolved barrel bashing system.
Exactly right.
We barrel bash with our bung hammer.
We barrel bash four categories: nose, taste, body, and finish. And we used to give up the 4 points on each one, but as Tiny rightly pointed out, we made a modification there in the last part of the year of 2021 where we actually have weighted the most, what most drinkers feel is the most important, the taste and the finish. You can bash them up to 5. So you can have a total of 18. And on any of the one categories, you can actually give it a, you know, like if it's a 4 category, you can make it a 5. If it's a 5 category, you can make it a 6. But you can only do that to one of the 4. And that's a ba-dum-bum.
A ba-dum-bum.
A ba-dum-bum.
Oh, we were just watching. I wish I would have. Oh, ba-da-boom. That's what it was. We were watching Stranger Things, and that was one of the things that was coming out in there. And that's a 80s kind of saying. Bada bada boom. But we're a bada up.
But up.
So there you go.
So much more cooler.
Because we are. Yeah. We're just fucking cool as
more
shit.
More cooler. That was great English. Oh, well.
We're the coolest.
That's right.
All right. That's just because it's cold in Ohio.
It's cold in this man cave. I'll give you
this man cave.
I may seem alert and awake. It's because I don't want to fall asleep. I'll freeze to death.
No, this podcast studio is damn cold because we need the whiskey to warm us up.
That's exactly right.
And it
right.
is the perfect temperature for my fat ass. So there's no doubt about it. So it's like, that's why. You can go upstairs and you can get the warmth, you know, most of the time. But
we gotta keep Tiny on ice. That's
when you
sure.
come into the cave, it's cold enough to make what are those? Where the dripping, the stalagmites?
Stalactites from the ceiling.
There you go.
Stalagmites from the ground.
Right. Okay. So stalagmite. I was right.
You were stalactite.
Wow. Tiny used a big word and you didn't have to sound it out.
Oh my God. That's a first.
Here, do it again. Boom!
Yeah, he breaks my knuckles.
Yeah! Woo! All right, so anyways, let's give this... All right, so in my opinion, we'll start it off. I'll give the nose. Do we got something? Is Greg still... He's still commenting there?
He sure is.
Yeah, we're sorry. Yeah, let's see. Probably over 2.5 million barrels plus.
He put a lot more there for us. Okay, after we said the same scenario, he said 750 milliliters is the standard in spirits for the international market anywhere outside the U.S. And Greg, speaking in the first person, says, I was responsible for every barrel made for Jack Daniels from 1980. Forgive my blind eyes. Let me put on my glasses, Greg. My God.
1989 to 1998.
Yeah, spent several days per month in Lynchburg ensuring the barrels met their expectations and our specifications. Probably over 2.5 million barrels plus. There you have it from Greg Snyder, who was involved with the production of Jack Daniels.
The cooperage at that time at Brown-Forman.
Cooperage for 10 years, basically.
Well, and thank you. That was right at the time when we were, when I was drinking Jack Daniels. So I got to taste what he was making.
Yep. Oh, I'm sure that I did. It wasn't my go-to whiskey at the time, but yes. I'm sure I did.
Yeah, it wasn't because it was bad whiskey. It was because it wasn't good whiskey to you.
Well, I'm not a huge maple fan, but as we all saw with Widow Jane Decadence that we did with Lisa Roper Wicker,
that
stuff is insane. It's really good.
Yeah, you like more straightforward than essence.
Yeah, the essence. But you know, the thing is too. You know, Jack Daniels, we thought that was strong. You know, now we're used to drinking 100 proof and up, and it's like drinking soda pop now.
Right, right. And that is something that I wouldn't call... We love high proof, but I'm also a guy that doesn't mind from time to time a low proof. I'm a big fan of Basil Hayden.
Basil Hayden's quite good.
I mean, their toast is good. Their rum barrel rye... you know, there's just some really good expressions. So, anyways, all right. So I'm going to go first on the nose. It wouldn't be a podcast without Alice, right?
No, it wouldn't be.
Well, she's the twinkle in my eye.
You allow your grandchildren into your heart, and that's just a great thing.
All right, into my heart is this whiskey.
Right now, it's
there's a good segue. But at the same time, the nose, in my opinion, is delicious. Not delicious. It smells really good, but it is the weak part of the whiskey. So I'm going to give the nose a 3 out of 4.
You said exactly. The nose mails it in a little bit. It's not a bad nose. You get the warm bread smell. But, man, it gives you absolutely no clue as to what you're in store for the taste. So let's give me a 3 on the nose also.
All right. So one of the things about using these Glencairns that Martin Duffy of the Scotchy Bourbon Boy, but he's also the Glencairn glass representative, is one of the things to check out your body is you can set it on its side like this right here and let it roll around, coating the edges of the whiskey glass. And then when you bring it up, you check how it sticks to the glass, but you'll see those legs. Let's see if as they form, they're holding strong, but you can see that leg at the top just starting, you know, you're looking, and the viscosity on this whiskey is delightful. It's still, there you go. You can see it on that back end. See, as it pours down, the legs that are there. Let's see, I'm trying to, there you go. You can see some of those legs. And it sticks to the glass for a while. And the legs are thinner as far as the distance, but they form. And then they turn into droplets, which means that there's a nice fatty protein aspect to this particular 3-mash bourbon. So, nice body on that for the glass.
Yeah.
Color is a little bit like a dark caramel, right?
It's a real deep amber. Yeah.
So here we go. After a while, I have to agree with you. The chocolate now
is insane.
This is the most chocolate, and then it malts. So now, when I first hit it, I got a little bit of caramel, a little bit of a dark, like a really rich oak. But right now, that chocolate, after being in the glass and opening up, so it's almost now, at first it was a caramel malt, now it's a chocolate malt. And the finish, the malt is just so delicious on this. Nice. I really love high malt whiskey.
I guess you do.
I don't like the peat if you add in, but that malty taste. I've always been.
Well, yeah, you can have a malt.
I mean, for God's sakes, my mom used to buy just malt and make powdered malt and make vanilla malt milkshakes and chocolate malt milkshakes.
But she didn't blow burning sheep shit over it though.
Right.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, that's another one, man. There's another YouTube short and a TikTok blowing sheep shit over. It's just I love to do. It's like, and I'm not going to say that some scotches, and you know what? I honestly think that as we evolve this podcast, because we are the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, I really think that Johnny Walker High Rye was so delicious.
That Johnny Walker High Rye, I thought it was better than the Johnny Walker Blue.
But I think our palates are just evolving to be able to start to appreciate all this stuff.
The High Rye is a special product. That is unbelievable. That's very unique.
Right, but I think we got to visit more scotches to see if...
I'm really anxious to get some Glengoyne.
I'm not talking about the peatiest of peat that tastes like gun oil. I mean, that was a special version of Ardbeg.
With a hint of kiwi shoe polish.
Yeah, but you know, Young Nose loved it. He drank the whole damn bottle. But at the same time, I think we're going to be getting close to be able to do that.
I would like to try some Glengoyne. I've heard about that. That is an unpeated scotch. I'm anxious to try that.
But even revisit my 15-year Highland Park or, you know, some of these scotches that have
Or some Macallan, yeah, single malt.
Yeah, we got it. So, but we'll have to do that. So, as far as taste, I really think, and I don't think I've tasted a whiskey. I would never expect this from Jack Daniel's. Cheers, Brown and Foreman. Cheers, Jack Daniel's.
I'll drink to that.
You put out a special, this is like Maker's Mark pecan pie kind of thing. This triple mash is nothing like they've put out before. I like their barrel strength. There's no doubt about it. Barrel strength, Jack Daniel's.
If this would have been a blind taste test and they would have said name the distiller that put this out, Jack Daniel's wouldn't have been on the long list, much less the short list.
That's craft distillery delicious.
It is.
There's so much happening with that
malt. I haven't tasted this much chocolate since the special release that you had.
Oh, shit. There's a technical difficulty.
Oh, no.
It didn't do anything, though. All right. It's back up.
All right. Easy does it.
Nothing.
Okay. As I started to say, I haven't tasted something this chocolate since the special release that you had.
Since the last time Tiny shit his pants during a technical difficulty.
Oh, my God. Oh, okay.
All right.
Good night, folks.
Woo!
No, the special release that you had of, was that Rabbit Hole?
Yes.
That was
with
very
the double chocolatey.
I'll tell you what, this is not too far behind it, I don't
so think. I'm gonna, like, I was not expecting to do this. I tasted this before, but now that I'm analyzing it, I am gonna give this for taste a 5 with the ba-da-ba. Ba-da-ba.
The taste is phenomenal. This is nothing I had expected out of a, like I say, out of a Jack Daniel's product at all. I'm not a huge fan. Or say, up until about 15 minutes ago, I wasn't a huge fan. This is some really special stuff. It's delicious. You have a little bit of heat on the tongue, but not unpleasant so. And I don't get a lot of caramel, but I got it on the side palate, and I'm getting it on the tip of my tongue, too. Is just a mellow chocolate flavor, and a side palate and onto the back of your mouth, there is no bitter taste. There are no wood tannins. There's not really, at least not that I detect, even an oaky taste. It's just like you're drinking chocolate, man. It's really good. So why don't you cue me up with a 5 and a ba-da-ba-up also. Ba-da-ba.
Ba-da-ba. Boom. All right, body. Big time body. It drinks like 110, 112 proof. It's that mouth filling. It's not a... So you could give the body a 4 total. So I'm going to... The chocolate. God, goes
in. Chocolate going all the way back.
But... It just doesn't quite hit the cheeks. So I'm going to give the body a 3. I liked what it did in the glass. It's full bodied. It's 100 proof. So most of the time when I give a 4, you're talking 127, 130 proof type whiskeys. But I'm going to give the body a 3.
The body for me is doing everything it needs to do. I don't need to add to anything to what Tiny just said, but I'm going to give it a 4.
Woo! Boom. So, if I could give, and I can't, because Xavier reminds me all the time I can't break the rules, since I broke the rules so bad last Christmas, maybe next Christmas I'll break the rules, but I'm going
to
stay...
Next Christmas, next December, you get to break the rules once.
Okay, but in this case... The finish on this is long, and it basically it goes between a caramel shake and a chocolate shake, and I can tell you this. This would be a fantastic end-of-the-day pour, and it's worth not brushing your fucking teeth, so when you fucking fall asleep, yeah.
So
it's a good after dinner dessert drink. It's delicious.
But when you fall asleep, this is what you're tasting because it would stay there for
ever.
A half hour? It's right there. It's just like my love for barley lately in the bourbon aspect, it has been off the charts. So what do we got? So JD claims they trickle their whiskey over charred sugar maple before barreling the whiskey into charred white oak barrels. So why not just barrel the whiskey in charred sugar maple barrels?
Yeah, that's a real good question.
Because deep down...
It's a bourbon.
Yes, but deep down, they know that it's a bourbon, and they, although market it as Tennessee whiskey, they do want to have that conversation about it's a bourbon, it's not a bourbon, even though George Dickel solved that problem this year, this past year in 2021, by putting out an 8-year Lincoln County processed bourbon. So they basically solved the argument and did what they needed to do. So that's what we come up with, Greg, as far as the answer.
So explain to me, how does George Dickel putting out the 8-year solve the argument about Jack Daniel's being bourbon or not bourbon?
Because the Lincoln County process makes a Tennessee whiskey.
Okay? That's the...
But it doesn't disqualify it as being bourbon, but... The argument of people who want it to be Tennessee whiskey opposed to people who want it to be bourbon, they're both right. But they have this argument. But okay, George Dickel finally put it on a bottle that they put it through the Lincoln County process and called it bourbon.
I see.
Never did Jack Daniel's do that.
All right.
They never put bourbon. They always put Tennessee. Never did George Dickel tell that particular expression solve the argument, because legally it is bourbon. And if you would put it in sugar maple, which, Greg, I really believe if you put it in sugar maple barrels, you probably would increase some and cause some really good whiskey to come out of it, but you would then separate yourself completely from being the bourbon that they already know it is. Now, I hope I answered that. And if you're still watching, please let me know if I was right. Now, the finish. We're down to the finish, right? And we said we would cut this, you know, make this with underneath an hour. So I am going to go with the finish. I think this finish is definitely what I want in a whiskey, and I'm just going to give it a 5.
Ditto. It's sweet all the way through. It's just very pleasant. Give it a 5.
So you gave this an 18 out of 18.
Correct.
And I gave it a 17 out of 18.
So it's a 17.5.
It's a 17.5.
That's an awesome
Scotchy
score.
Bourbon boy.
I would have never thought a Jack Daniel's product would have got that kind of score, but this is delicious.
He's not a huge fan.
No,
but
not.
This right here, this triple mash, is delicious. And we just gave it a 17.5 for 700 milliliters at
36 bucks a bottle.
Yeah, $36
a bottle. 36. Folks, if I would have paid $70 a bottle for it and it tasted like this, I'd have been happy about it. It's really delicious.
So, all right. That really brings us to the end of the podcast. Remember, we're the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, www.scotchybourbonboys.com. Check us out. I'm going to get this right now. All right?
I believe you.
YouTube, the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. Twitter, at Scotchy The. Facebook, the Scotchy Bourbon Boys group and Facebook page. And check out Jeffrey Mueller on
Facebook because I do a lot of posts on there that are associated with the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. And then also Instagram, TikTok, YouTube Shorts, and YouTube. And, well, we do Patreon. And then also Facebook Reels.
All right.
So I pretty much got all social media covered, but we are also on all major podcast formats. But remember, like us, comment, and then also, what? Okay, like, comment, and subscribe. And subscribe. There you go.
There you go. Hey, you nailed it.
So that's another podcast for the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. Let me get up and we will cue the...
Thank you, everyone who joined us live. Thank you, Greg Snyder, for your very much appreciated and valuable input.
Yes, definitely, Greg. Thank you very much for watching. But remember, good bourbon equals good time and good friends. And go out and live your life dangerously. Little Steve-O is going to take us out. Remember, www.littlesteveo.com if you like what you're hearing. And what he has done for our cover of the Alabama song is amazing.
Good night, folks.
Oh, show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. For if we don't find the next whiskey bar, I tell you we must die. I tell you we must die. I tell you, I tell you, I tell you we must die.
Hey, Scotchy Bourbon Boys fans, this is Alan Bishop, Indiana's Alchemist of the Black Forest. So I'm tuning in here today to tell you all about the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute channel on YouTube. If you're at all interested in the art of distilling, whether it be home distilling or professional distilling, and the intense geekery that goes into that process, then check out the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute on YouTube. I promise you're going to learn something you didn't know before about the arts.